Welcome to Worldwide Wonderful Women, a podcast for your living in divine power when yours is diminished. A podcast where encouragers receive encouragement. We understand these are hard times. You may find that it is becoming more of a challenge for you to remain strong as you give of yourself continuously. That's why this is the place to join other women globally who face the same challenges as you. So join us regularly to receive biblical insight, not to faint, but to stand strong. This is the podcast to be rejuvenated and revitalized. Now, let's join our host, Paula Harris.
Hello, this is episode number 12 of Worldwide Wonderful Women, and the title of our episode is That You May Know. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13, it states, "And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." I had two friends who passed this week, and as one who ministers to others through the gospel message of Jesus Christ, it brought again the question that we all must understand. And that question is, how can a person truly know that they have eternal life? Now, this is a heavy topic that I know I'm only going to be able to touch upon to get your thought juices flowing. There is no way that I can truly address all of this in the short time that I have with you. And you can always email me with any questions that you may have. But how can a person truly know that they are saved? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" So how do you make sure that you're not disqualified? Or how do you make sure that you're truly in the faith of Jesus Christ? How do you make sure that you are in the family of God and that you will see Jesus one day? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 to 23, it says, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then he," talking about the Lord, "will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So, you know, when you read Matthew chapter 7, it is possible to profess Jesus Christ with our mouth and not have eternal life at all. We really need to do what the scriptures say. We need to examine our life and to see whether what we proclaim with our mouths is a reality in our lives. Many have been exposed to the gospel, but many have not truly heard the truth of it as far as receiving it and really making it a part of their lives. There's a lot of spirituality and religion being passed off as Christianity today. And if you don't study the Word of God, you're not going to be able to tell the difference in some instances. You know, the devil loves to try to imitate Christ's truth, but there is always some hidden lie in his deception and a counterfeit religion or spirituality that many are choosing today. So now let's look at a few things that can help us have more of an assurance that we are truly a child of God and will live eternally with God, having been saved from wrath and from the penalty of our sins through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. One of the ways in which we can really tell whether we have eternal life or that we may know that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ is that when we received him as our Lord and Savior, all of a sudden we begin to see the old way of living is diminishing more and more, and we're starting to see a new way of living and thinking developing in our lives from day to day. Maybe you've heard the illustration of a pig. If you take a nice, clean plate of food and then you place it in front of the pig along with a plate full of slop and garbage and mess, the pig, because of his nature, will automatically go to that slop. He won't go to the nice, healthy plate. He's going to go to the slop because of his nature. Well, if you were to take that pig and change him, let's just say, use your imagination, change him into a human being, one who is a Christian, one who knows Jesus Christ and is in Jesus and Jesus is in him. Well, when you put those two plates before that person would automatically, because of their character, go to the good food and not the slop. He would look at the slop and say, ugh, I'm not attracted to that. I don't want that. The same thing with vomit. If you had a dog would look at that vomit and that vomit would look enticing, and a dog would even go to vomit and lick it up. Now, I know that sounds gross, and I know I'm using an illustration that you might say, oh, Paul, I'm ready to cut this off. Don't cut it off, because I'm trying to use some extreme illustrations, because that's the extreme difference between those that are in Christ and those that are not, as far as our nature being changed by God. So a dog would automatically, but a dog may go back to its vomit and lick it up. Where if you took a person, you know, one who's not a dog, I'm just using illustrations, one who is not a dog would look at that vomit and be turned off by it, and would not even want to go over there and lap it up. Two different natures. The way that we used to be and how we are after we receive Jesus Christ, it's two different natures. And we should begin to see that. And even though you're a new babe in Christ, or you've just received Christ, don't beat yourself up, because you're just beginning to grow. But if you've been in Christ for a long time and you don't see any changes in your life, you need to examine yourself and you need to ask yourself, do I really have assurance of my salvation? Now, that's not coming from me. I just read that to you from the Word of God. So being a child of God, you're not going to tolerate or keep making excuses for any sin in your life. You're not going to keep making reasons for why you continue in practicing sin. So I'm not talking about rule keeping or regulations here. I'm talking about you being a new person in Christ with a new heart, which has new desires and a new want to in regards to obeying Jesus. Now, the life you now live is to please God and not yourself. The things offered by the world begin to fade more and more as far as their importance when compared to what you have in Jesus. So the more you study the Bible and learn about Jesus, the more you're going to desire more and more of godly things and less of worldly things. This is a change that is done by the Holy Spirit within you. It's not anything that you can bring about by your own effort or anything that you can produce yourself. It is a mighty work of God that takes place in you when you really are switched from the old person to the new person by receiving Jesus. In Colossians 1:19-23, it says, "For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everyone," that's everyone who's put their faith in him, "to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." So this includes you who were far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, talking about what you were and what you are now, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Jesus Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless. This is before God, how he sees you, as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Now, of course, that's God's word. Now, at this point, what I would like to do is just share some characteristics that will begin to come forth in your life as a result of being made new in Christ and having a new heart toward God and others. Now, Christians aren't perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But our lives are continually becoming more like Christ. So once the Holy Spirit has truly begun to work in you, he's going to complete it. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a promise. If that work of God has begun in you, it will be completed. So don't be discouraged. Okay, so now God is so faithful and kind. He tells us in this word how we can tell if this work has really begun in us. He doesn't want us to guess or be confused. He wants us to know. And that is why it's important for us to study God's word and develop a relationship with him through prayer, which is constant conversation with him. All right, so then what are some of the ways that we can tell whether we really have this salvation or new life in us? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You're going to begin to see some of these things operate in your life in a way that they never did before. And as a result of being made new, you're going to see these characteristics becoming more and more a part of your life. But if you're continually displaying the old nature, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, envying, drunkenness, and carousing or partying, then this is a good indication that you need to examine if you are truly a child of God. Because in Galatians 5:21, it says, those who make a living or practice out of such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let's look again. God is so kind to let us know some other ways that we can tell. In the books of 1st and 2nd John, he gives us a list of things to look out for so that we may know that we have eternal life. Well, some of the things are as such. Number one, you will not have a lifestyle of habitually living in darkness or sin. And you can look at 1st John chapter 1, verse 6. We are lying, and this is what it says, we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. So now, light and darkness cannot exist in a person's life at the same time any more than they can coexist in a room of a home. Now, he does not have any, or we don't have anything in common with God, because there's no darkness at all in him when we say that we're living a life of sin, but yet we're in God. So the Bible's telling us that's not so. Another way in which God lets us know in his word, you will have fellowship with Jesus and other Christians. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. You truly love God and his people, which are Christians. You enjoy being with them and helping them and working alongside of them. That's another way of being able to tell. Another way of being able to tell, and if you have assurance of salvation, is that you recognize your sinful nature. And that's 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So fellowship with God is going to require that we acknowledge the truth about ourselves. To deny that we have a sinful nature means that we're deceiving ourselves and there's untruthfulness or self-deception. Notice that John is saying that there's a difference between sin in verse 8 and sins in verse 9. Sin refers to our corrupt evil nature, which we all were born with. Sin refers to the evil acts that we do. So actually, we have got to be careful in regards to if we say that we don't have a sin nature or if we say that we don't commit acts of sin. We're deceiving ourselves. So one of the ways that we can truly tell that we have eternal life and that we are saved is that sin bothers us. We recognize it. We don't make excuses for it. Another thing in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, is that we acknowledge or confess our sins. And that just goes along with what I just said. We don't make excuses or make reasons for why we're going to continue in it. Another way to be able to tell if we have eternal life, and another way to be able to know that it's operating in our life, is that we want to obey and keep God's commandments. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 5, it says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too." So if you love the Father, you're going to love the rest of the family, his children. "We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." I know I'm passing a lot on to you, but I want to try to at least get these scriptures to you so that if you have to listen to this message over and over again, that you can write down the scriptures and look them up yourself, and that you can know. I want you to know. It's not me that really wants you. I do want you to know, but more than me, it's God that wants you to know that you have eternal life. All right, another one in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. "You're not going to hate your brothers or sisters whom you're supposed to love in the body. If anyone claims, 'I am living in the light,' but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness or sin, or has a lifestyle of sin. Anyone who loves his fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness." Now, we're talking about a lifestyle. We're not talking about having occasional fallouts and having to forgive one another and get things straight. We're talking about an ongoing lifestyle of hating other Christians, mocking other Christians, not wanting to be around them. Something is wrong if that's your lifestyle. Then also another way to be able to tell and have assurance if you have eternal life is in 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. "You're not going to love the world or the things of the world." And this is what it says. "Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God." See, there's a difference from believers and non-believers. "And those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception." Now, the spirit of deception comes from Satan. And that's how you can tell whether someone wants to hear the word of God or if they're always like, "I don't want to hear that. I don't hear the word of God." Something is wrong. And don't take this as judgment. God, in his loving kindness, is letting us know what to look out for. He's so kind and loving to let us know this is what you look out for. This is what you don't look out. You know, this is how you know. So we're not to go around judging one another, but it says in the word of God, we're to examine ourselves because no one else knows, but we can tell and we should know our own hearts. We don't go around examining one another. But the Bible says we are to examine ourselves, to know ourselves. Okay, so now what's another way to tell? In 1 John chapter 2, 29, "You will practice righteous living, and you're going to have a different viewpoint from the world. In 1 John 2:29, it says, "Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children." And then also in 1 John, look at all these scriptures in 1 John and 2 John. God is helping us to know how we can tell and how we can examine ourselves. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 to 10, another way is that you're not going to habitually practice sin. Will you make mistakes? Will you sin? Yes, but you're going to deal with it. You're not going to cover it up. You're not going to make excuses. You're not going to keep on practicing sin because you've messed up. Here's what it says. "Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God." Now, those are not my words, and I can't make it any plainer than this. This is what God is saying. These aren't Paul's words. And God gives this to us so that we can examine ourselves. Now, let's go on. I know I'm going a little longer today, but this is a burden of my heart, and I think it's important for us. So hang in here with me. Another thing is in 2 John chapter 9. We're going to abide in the doctrine of Christ. And this is what it says. "Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son." Now, there are other passages in the Bible besides those I just read in 1 and 2 John to help us have assurance of our salvation. Of course, I'm not going to be able to go over all of them. But I really adore our Lord for wanting to give us a confidence and assurance of being saved. Now, you believe that Jesus Christ is fully God and that he comes in the flesh is another way that the Bible is saying that we can know that we have eternal life, because we really do believe that God, that Jesus is truly God, but yet he was truly man. And that comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. And this is what it says. And like I said, hang in there with me. I'm only going to share a few more things and then I'll close. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. "He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light." See, they live in the light, not darkness. "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the invisible image of the visible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see." And then it just goes on all the way to 17, and you can read that on your own. But one way of having assurance and knowing that you are saved is that you truly believe that Jesus is God and that he did come in the flesh and died on the cross on your behalf. Another scripture is in Mark chapter 3, verse 35, which lets us know that if you truly are saved and have eternal life, you're going to want to desire to do the will of God. And this is what it says. "Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." That is directly what Jesus said. And please listen to me carefully. I'm not saying that if you're not doing all of these perfectly, that you're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. It's not about perfection, but about progressively growing in the biblical, not worldly ways of living. You should be moving in direction of doing things as instructed by Christ in his word. This is called progressive sanctification, where God is doing an inward work in you as it states in Philippians chapter 2:13. And this is what Philippians 2:13 says: "For God is working in you, giving you first a desire and then the power to do what pleases him." We can't even do what's right without God working within us. But I praise God that not only does he call us to do what's right, he's the one that works in us to first of all want to do what's right and then have the power and ability to do it. Now, 2 Corinthians 13:5 again says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Now, I have given you a host of scriptures where you can start to examine whether you are truly in Christ. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. So I just pray that you have listened and that you have an open heart and that you would test yourselves to see if you have eternal life. If you're a new Christian and struggling in your daily walk, get with a Bible teaching church where you can grow in God's word and with other Christians. Christians aren't perfect, but we all have the indwelling Spirit of God who is working in us to become more like Christ. The indwelling Holy Spirit is the one who makes the difference from those who are not in the family of God and those who are. None of us, including myself, has arrived. That is why we have to extend the same grace and mercy that we received from Jesus to others as we're all growing. So don't be discouraged about what I've just said. Do something about it. Take action and get with a pastor or another mature Christian so that you may know that you have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now remember, all of these things are written in the Word of God so that you may know. The question is, do you know? If you've never prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior, call on him right now to forgive you of your sins and invite him to be your Savior. He will never reject you and will come into your heart and make you new. To gain even more of an understanding about new life in Christ, you can visit our website and click on the words "Receive Jesus" and watch a video that will explain this even more. Well, in the meantime, be encouraged and smile. Jesus loves you.
Thank you for listening to Worldwide Wonderful Women. We trust you enjoyed the program. Please take a moment to leave us a good rating and review on iTunes to help us continually encourage others around the globe. We also invite you to go to twmforjesus.org. That's TWM, like in Mary, FORJESUS.org, to download your free gift and see other resources to help you live in divine power. And oh, don't forget to tell your friends. Until next time, be strong and of good courage.